Well, we are here, Lauren. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me, us, another segment of Pop Apologists.
So happy to be gathered here today with you, my sister, Chandler. Chandler, I'm dying to know how your weekend was because I spent my weekend with very pedestrian, common activities, okay? It was just a normal weekend for me. I was not witnessing a spectacular celestial event like you were. And so I'm dying to hear about your eclipse experience.
My experience at the eclipse haircutters. sports clips. That's what I was looking for. Okay. Well, thank you for teeing this up. I don't mean to brag, but I did spend the weekend up by the Finger Lakes with friends and family. It was incredible. I've seen totality twice now. Not to brag, but here I go. I went to the eclipse in Idaho in 2017 and then obviously followed the path of totality up to upstate New York. And honestly, it was cloudy where I was, which was a bummer. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think I actually got a fully different eclipse experience than my last time. So the last time it was in Idaho, it was totally sunny and great. And the moon covered the sun, however the eclipse works. And it's really not about the specifics for me. It's about like the whole moment, just FYI. So the moon covered the sun, yada, yada, yada. And it got totally dark. And we had that amazing moment of seeing the shadows or whatever, the solar flares. And that was very cool. But this most recent time yesterday, because it was cloudy, it got incredibly dark. It got like eerily dark. I would say way darker. It got way darker than the last time, where it kind of just got to be like night, kind of like post sunset night. This was fully dark.
And that was dark as night.
Dark as night. Yeah. Yeah.
No, like the sky was black.
Maybe not black, but like a very dark brown. And the pictures don't do it justice because the phones like auto correct the exposure.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to adequately express, but this is all like within the period of 3 minutes. Like it starts to get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And then all of a sudden it gets dim very fast until it's like dark.
I think that a lot of people hear about the eclipse and they're just like, yeah, whatever, whatever. But for people who go and experience them, they're supposed to be like extremely spiritual, extremely cool experiences where I think you kind of like witness how at the mercy you are of the channels, the intergalactic spaces,
the lakes, the lakes of the cosmic universe, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, actually, I'm going to speak to this because you haven't seen one of these. But thank you for extrapolating what you think it might be like to go see an eclipse.
I would love to share what it's like to be at the eclipse. Having not been, and you've been twice, I think I should pontificate now about how, how reverent.
That would check out. That would check out. No, it's scary how impressive it is and how within the period of 3 minutes, the world can go totally dark and you realize how much we need the sun and how like the planets orbiting around us. And you just realize like you're just a little fleck in the universe and we are just on this planet literally orbiting in space. I don't know if that's the right use of the word. Astrologists don't come after us.
I think what's interesting about it, and it reminds me of an interview Jeff Bezos gave about going into space. Might have been
Lauren's favorite astrologist.
My hall pass, one Jeff Bezos, he said that going into space, it makes you realize that if heaven exists, it must exist on Earth, or it just seems like Earth is heaven because space feels so dark and cold and limitless, whereas Earth is bathed in light and life. And it's like you actually realize how precious this experience of warmth is.
No, I think that's beautiful. Your hall pass has a way with words. The heavens, the Earth, they're all wonderful. I felt like a small piece of the universe this weekend, and that's a very cool feeling. So anyway, yeah, it was a great weekend, and I'm an eclipse freak.
Well, I, Chandler, have been trying to channel the cosmos as well recently, okay?
Okay.
Do you want to hear about this?
Yeah.
So I was sent a TikTok video of a woman named okay? And this
woman has-
You were
sent this video?
I was sent this video. This woman has a series of videos about Kate Middleton. And she's giving a lot of prophecies and she's channeling the realms. Okay. Yeah. And she's showing us exactly what's happened to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was sucked into these videos. Apparently, Kate Middleton, that she is being She's either not alive anymore. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm tripping over my words because it's a lot to discuss, but she's in the ether, according to.
What does that mean?
She's in the ether. She's suspended between life and death. Okay. So she's like in some sort of purgatory, but she's no longer with us, according to. And she has all these videos about these visions she's seen of what led up to this death. So I kind of got sucked into these videos. I was like, whoa, this is pretty intense. She said that she saw Kate in a room before she died, and she was really upset, and she was clutching her stomach, and then she fell to her knees, and it wasn't clear whether someone had like hit her over the head, but she said that she was going against the institution, okay, the monarchy.
Hold on. And clutching her stomach. Someone hit her on the head?
Here's the thing. Her visions, they don't come in like HD. They're a little hazy. But it was dark. So okay. I looked at this woman's website.
Yeah.
And for $150, you can get a reading from her. Okay.
Did you get a reading?
I got a reading.
Do you spend $150 on it?
I spent $150 from.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I got notified 2 hours ago that my reading was completed. So I asked three questions. Yeah. Because my thought was this. I'm going to ask three questions. She has no idea about anything.
Anything.
Okay. And then if there's something specific, if there's something at all that she would never have known about, like, oh my God, what happened to Kate in that room? Who hit her on the head? Like, why was she clutching her stomach? Anyway, I got the readings. And the first was about business. Okay. It was about kind of.
Wait, what were the questions?
One of the questions was about business. It was about the future and like a potential opportunity. And anyway, her reading back to me was what she was being told is that I always do what I'm supposed to. I've been on a very specific life track, always just paying my dues, doing exactly what I should. And that success, I'm grasping for success and for other people to tell me I'm successful, but I just need to know and have confidence in myself.
You have too much confidence. This isn't an issue for you. No, literally, when we got canceled 2 weeks ago, like, you were good.
I know.
This is not an issue for you. She doesn't know that you're not that insecure.
No, literally. So the business question was just like, did it
wrong.
Nothing.
Like, literally, it's just funny because you have no problem taking a seat at the table and leaning in.
100%. I just think I should already be more powerful.
No, literally. And I'm like, lean in, but let's use more exclamation points.
So then the second one was about our grandma Marjorie. And it was about...
Can I ask what you asked?
I just asked if she was still connected to my life and like if she knew, like if she could see what was going on and like if she knew how much she meant to me, that sort of thing.
Lauren is also your middle. You have a middle name, Marjorie.
Share with my grandma Marjorie.
That you share with your grandma Marjorie. So you have an extra special connection to her.
She liked me much more than everyone else. That's for sure.
I think at a time that might have been true.
Anyway, her answer about Grandma Marjorie is that Grandma Marjorie can see me sitting on my floral bedding, okay? And whenever I'm crying, she is there and fills the room with light and love. This was another for me.
It's just funny because you definitely don't have floral bedding. That's just like, she thinks you're like girly with capital G.
And she also thinks I'm capital D depressed because she was like, she knows everything you've been through. And I was like, I was actually wondering if she was like, how cool is your life turning out? Like, we never knew it would go this well. She comes to you like whenever you're crying.
When you're crying. Yeah. And I wouldn't say, I don't think you cry that much.
No, I don't.
You used to until your floral bedding. It's just, that's so funny.
And the other one, the third one was about, I asked if there's anything I'm missing. Okay. If there's anything I'm missing.
That's such a vague question. That's like the worst question to ask a medium because it's just like, they're going to be like,
I wanted her to tell me something specific, like something, just something that would clue me into that she had any idea and was really talking to Source God. Because she says, the messages I'm getting from Source God, they don't make sense to me, but hopefully they make sense to you, she says at the beginning of each one.
Okay, but also let's just refer back to questions one and two. Those were perfectly vague answers that absolutely made sense.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
And she's like, I don't understand floral bedding, but that's gonna ring true for you.
Anyway, she said that she was getting a message that I feel like I am missing out on love in my life, and that I am, yeah, and that I'm not pursuing the depth of love I should be pursuing. Okay. And I have dreams inside of me that I don't pursue because I'm so nervous about pleasing others.
So insecure.
And not, yeah.
That's never been true. You've never been worried about pleasing others.
And upsetting other people.
A day
and I have to let those dreams have a life of their own and not be always concerned about everyone around me.
Lauren's dream is to actually have more people like hate her. Not hate her, but like you just beat to your own drum or whatever. You march to the beat of your own drum, excuse me.
I'm a based bitch and I could not give less of a shit if my dreams bug other people. I'm not like, anyway, I'm so sorry, but her medicine is weak at best.
Wow.
I don't think she has the truth about Kate Middleton.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, I don't think she has the truth about Kate Middleton at all based off of that. Thank you for paying them that money so that we could have that segment. That's a business expense.
How I envisioned it, I was going to be like, Chandler, listen. I'm just going to play a clip on the Patreon. I was going to be like, listen to what she said. And you're right. Be like, oh my God, she knows about grandma's China or whatever.
Right.
And then
right.
We'd be like, okay, now let's play what she said about Catherine. And be like, oh my God, what happened in the room?
Right.
Okay, but let's move on. Chandler, did you hear the news about Morgan Wallen over the weekend?
Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty, essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie batter, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water, and that also, strangely, tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. Can I talk to you about a product that you love, that Courtney loves, and that I love?
Please.
Early Bird CBD gummies are so phenomenal, everyone. They are the perfect 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. So this concoction, it gives you the warmest, gooeyest feeling.
They have the magic formula. I love the watermelon flavor. That's my favorite. I also love using them when I know I need to get a good night's sleep and I can sleep in.
You guys, we love Early Bird CBD so much. We reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring the show because we were like, these products, these gummies, everyone needs to know about them. We're going to tell them about them anyway. So maybe we can get paid to do it. And honestly, we just cannot recommend them enough. We have a link in our show notes. You can go to earlybirdcbd.com. Use code POPAPOLOGIST20 for 20% off. earlybirdcbd.com, POPAPOLOGIST20 for 20% off. Do yourself a favor. Try the gummies.
They ship to all 50 states, everybody.
You got to try it. earlybirdcbd.com. Chan, did you hear the news about Morgan Wallen over the weekend?
Unfortunately, I did. I am a Morgan Wallen fan, and saying those words out loud hurt me, make me feel a little sick. It is my biggest red flag as a person, and seeing that news hit, I was getting texts from all sides, and not all sides of the conversation, but all anyone in my life who knew that I liked Morgan Wallen was looking to me to answer for his crimes.
His ills. Well, I want to share a journey I've been on with this news, if that's okay. Because a lot of people were very upset, and I'm also a Morgan Wallen fan.
Yeah.
And I saw the headlines, and it was like, Morgan Wallen, shocking moment when Morgan Wallen throws chair in Nashville. Okay? And at first when I saw the headlines, I was just like, a guy threw a chair? Really? Okay? That's what people are so upset about?
What else? Slow day in the newsroom.
Well, I just, slow day. And also, like, come on, people. Like, can men not be men anymore? So can men not get, we don't know what he was heated over. Okay. We don't know what just happened. Did he just find out Bible study was canceled? Okay.
Right. Right. Did he maybe find he out- found out he wasn't going to see his mom as soon as he wanted to see his mom?
Literally, Chandler, maybe the crops in his farm, like a freeze came over the land or something, or there was like a flood. Okay, in the harvest sure, this spring. There was a
I can't even go there. Now, Lauren, I did not have that same reaction because I knew when I saw that he was arrested for throwing a chair, I knew that it was it was down bad. It was bad.
I missed that part. And so I was a little bit like, okay, clearly this is just Snowflake Central, this world I live in now.
No one can take a joke.
No one can take a joke. And you know what? No one can admit that a little toxic masculinity can be a tiny bit hot. Okay. He threw a chair. Who knows what over? What that's over. He's a red-blooded American male. But I then read that he actually threw a chair off a tall building.
A building that looks like it's at least six stories. That is that, crazy.
Yeah. That for me was when I started to, I guess, crystallize into my own form of snowflake and get a little upset because you could literally kill someone.
No. Did you see the video of the chair going off the roof?
It is so absurd.
That could impale somebody and kill them.
It's horrific.
That's really a Grey's Anatomy episode waiting to happen.
And I do want to read. Okay. So I'm just going to read what happened. So apparently Morgan Wallen essentially found out that his ex-fiance, Katie Smith, eloped with her new fiance. They've been engaged for a week, Chandler, Luke Scornavacco. Apparently he found out that they had eloped and that's what prompted throwing a chair off the roof of this bar.
Okay. Is it back to being hot though?
That's like literally, I'm kind of like full circle into it again.
No one was hurt. So like, no one was hurt, everybody. If no one was hurt, we would be singing a different tune.
No one was hurt. And this is just like, for me, the beginning of a great love story between him and Katie. Like when he gets her back, it's like, when I found out you'd ran off with your first husband, I was ready to kill. That's how angry I was.
I'm trying to think if Ben could ever literally muster that type of anger over me.
No.
Over my hand or my virtue or whatever. Like, to throw a chair off of
your honor.
My honor? I mean, do you think Kagan would?
Jenna, let me just say, when both of us got engaged, I think you could have heard a pin drop, okay? It was not a weeping and wailing and throwing of chairs happening across the land.
No.
So,
it's like, if he's not throwing a chair over off a six-story building for you, he's not it.
He's not it. And honestly, I'm just like, this is fucking hot. Also, liberals everywhere, they should be thrilled. He almost hit a police officer.
Is that why he got arrested? Because he like,
because he almost like it basically grazed three cops.
Stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. That makes more sense. Wow. This is the way this story has taken a turn. Well, this actually is perfect because I got a statement from Joe Peacock, a fellow Morgan Wallen fan.
That you can read today.
So I texted Joe and I said, I'm going to be talking about Morgan Wallen's incident on the podcast today if you'd like me to relay your statement. And Joe said,
can I just preempt something real quick?
Yes,
about
please.
Joe Peacock. Joe Peacock is a Taylor Swift expert. He's absolutely phenomenal. He has been with us on the podcast a few episodes. He's so good that someone even suggested that Chandler fire me as her employee and replace me with Joe. He's so good. So I highly recommend all Joe Peacock episodes about Taylor Swift. And yeah, he is hilarious. So Chandler, please continue.
And I need to say that Joe was not afraid to speak his truth and to double down. So this is what Joe said. He said, okay. Do you remember in the early 2000s when we wanted our pop starlets to be symbols of purity and sex symbols? This is a little like that. I'm sorry, but you can't claim to love a country man for being country and then be upset when you put him in the city and he acts a little country. Followed by Free Morgan and a bunch of American flags. And he said, and I'm sorry, at this point, it's not an incident. It's a lifestyle. And I can't wait to hear the double album and about his 2 hours in jail. I hope his one call was to his mom. And I hope it started with this. Thought you should know I'm in the slammer.
Truly, I have the chills. Thank you so much, Joe, for, I would say, being a whistleblower on the fact that we say we want strong, rugged men who will kill for their women. Okay. We want these great romances of our time. And then we get upset when, strong men do strong men things.
Literally. I entered this conversation in a very different frame of mind than I'm exiting. And I'm happy about it.
I think We are going to launch a GoFundMe for Morgan if for he Morgan. Needs it for yeah. his defense. Yeah. And we will be on his side of the courtroom.
Absolutely. We'll fly okay. to Nashville.
All right. Let the court reflect that opinion. Thank you.
Let the minute state.
Gavel. I need a gavel sound. Okay. Can I share with you, Chandler, speaking on music icons and speaking on items of passion?
Yes. I have no idea where you're going. Yeah.
I had a personal revelation this weekend about Taylor Swift. And this is going to be super brief for everyone.
Was this through your Galactics?
It was not through my medium or psychic or galactic. It was just channeled from me to source. But okay. I was, okay, you're going to die. This is short, everyone, for the non-Swifties. So I read a theory that Lover was written and called Lover because that's what Taylor called Joe. Okay?
Okay.
Because Joe took a long time for there to be any sort of like formal boyfriend, girlfriend. Like I think that he was a little bit more cloaked at the beginning and he was a little bit more withholding. Okay. And I think that's why he hooked her so hard.
Have we heard Cruel Summer?
Exactly. Cruel Summer speaks to this, lays it out. You know, yeah. it's a, what did she call it? Like it's a no rules.
No rules, unbreakable heaven.
Breakable heaven, exactly. I think, Chandler, when we got Reputation and we heard the last six songs, which were all Joe-coded about falling for Joe, okay?
Yeah.
I think Call It What You Want is not about like, oh, the media can call it whatever they want. They can call me a slut. They can call me whatever. Like they can call this relationship whatever they want. Whoa. I think, because we all thought that. We all thought she was talking about, you guys can call it what you want. I know what I have is so pure. He'll build me a fire and keep me warm.
Yeah.
I think she was saying to Joe, call it what you want. Okay.
Wow.
Like call this relationship what you want.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But does that ring so true?
I want to listen to it now. Can we play it? No.
Okay. Well, also she says in that song, I'm laughing with my lover, making forts undercovers. Trust him like a brother. Yeah, you know I did one thing right. Laughing with my lover. Chandler, lover was what she called Joe. Mm-hmm. That's why the whole album is called Lover.
Wow.
Anyway.
So that's a great revelation. I really appreciate that thinking. And I think both things could be true. I think it could be a double meaning for her. I would like quickly for you to talk about your opinion of the voice memos. Just quickly, just briefly.
All I will say for Swifties, keep it brief. I hated this project. I don't think it's appropriate for Taylor to go back and recategorize all these stunning songs as being about depression or sadness. These songs that were so gorgeous about falling in love suddenly are about like being delusional and being like easily fooled.
I think there's something about her wanting to go back and essentially like underline parts of her journal entries to be like, that actually wasn't about this. That was about
exactly.
this other thing. And I think that's what's tough about this is that these albums, these songs were her journal entries from previous relationships. I think they should be left in like their sacred states and we shouldn't, you know, have to like now put this filter of like, oh, that was all fake, or that should just be left to the consumer. If I want to listen to Lover and think about how she was at one point in love with Joe and that was a very real feeling for her, I want to listen to it like that. If I want to listen to Cruel Summer and think about how, you know, it was so hard for her to snag, then I want to listen to it like that. I don't know. I don't want her telling me what lens I should listen to it through.
Yeah, I don't want her telling me that Lover and Snow on the Beach and these songs, they transport you to a place that's just so incandescent and in love and in that lavender haze, and now all of a sudden they're about being easily duped. It's just for me
they're like tainted. Ruins,
yeah, it taints the songs. Yeah. Like don't do that, Taylor. Also for me, it just feels like these audio recordings in this new labeling, it's very Joe coded. It's very like sending a message to Joe.
Yes.
This art that I made for us and about you. Mm-hmm. Now I am
just like, so you know, it was always a lie.
Yeah, just so you know, this is completely means something else. And I'm like, I always know or whatever.
Like, just enjoy the checks and it's all good. This album's just going to be enough, like, Joe code.
Also, I will say, we had a slow dance at my wedding to Lover. Okay?
Yeah.
And did. I do want to bring this back to my wedding. Because what am I supposed to do now about that moment, which was so
cotton
candy ruined. Pink? And literally, she's ruined my wedding.
She's literally ruined your wedding. I think you have to get married again. I don't even want to have a wedding now. I mean, thank God she didn't come for invisible string. That's all.
Oh, she came for sweet nothing though.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another favorite of yours.
Well, and that is a favorite of mine, but that one I look at now since they broke up and I have a different interpretation of it. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's like he really did not let her shine, or he didn't really believe in her shining. And that's why at times that was almost nice for her, because it was like the pressure wasn't on from him. But was that also him not believing in her? Anyway, we will stop talking about this now.
Yeah, let's move forward. All right. Well, beyond Taylor,
I want to talk about Isla Fisher and Sacha Baron Cohen getting a divorce. Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there?
You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like 5 photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. So I want to talk about Isla Fisher and Sacha Baron Cohen getting a divorce.
Yes. I will say the best divorce announcement I've ever seen, in my personal opinion.
I'm glad that we are, as a society, trying to move away from the word divorce, that we're maybe trying to, you know, like conscious uncoupling, tennis match, whatever you want to call it. We're just trying to give it a slightly better name, moniker, whatever. So I'm going to read the divorce announcement post, which is just so funny that now it's like, okay, we have to post the Instagram story, go into create mode.
It's almost so stylized. It's almost like a cool divorce announcement.
Yes.
It's just interesting to think about like the creative direction of your divorce PR announcement.
Yeah.
There's something about it that's like hilarious, because it's almost like, let's keep it sporty and lighthearted.
Let's keep it light.
Kind of fun.
So this is a photo of the two of them in tennis garb. And the text says, after a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we're finally putting our rackets down. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our marriage. We have always prioritized our privacy and have been quietly working through this change. We forever share in our devotion and love for our children. We sincerely appreciate your respecting our family's wish for privacy.
I mean, I just feel like reading this right off the bat, it's just very straightforward, and it's not, we remain so committed to our love for each other. We will always be great friends.
We'll always be besties. He's like, still my best friend, greatest confidant, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, Kate Bosworth's divorce announcement was literally like a porno, basically. It was like erotica.
It was like a portrait of a marriage in an Instagram caption.
But a portrait of a marriage through the eyes of a 17-year-old, like listening to vinyls with her hot boyfriend.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, that said, so I appreciate that it's just more realistic, and it's just, you know, we're calling it quits. Please give us privacy in a light way. I think this is like the best divorce announcement I've seen. I applaud it.
Yeah, I applaud it as well. I want to talk to you though about some things that have been happening behind the scenes and some reasons why we might have gotten this divorce post announcement when we did.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Do you know anything about this? Do you know anything about kind of the Rebel Wilson, Sacha Baron Cohen allegations?
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. This is really interesting. Do you know who Rebel Wilson is, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, of course.
Okay. So I want to talk about what went down between Rebel Wilson and Sacha Baron Cohen years and years ago.
Yeah,
so
I'm dying to know.
Rebel Wilson released her memoir, Rebel Rising. So in it, she has a whole chapter about the asshole, basically, okay? And there was all of this press and attention around who this person was. And she literally came out on Instagram stories and she said, I am being intimidated by PR lawyers and whatever, and I will literally tell you who the asshole is. It's Sacha Baron Cohen. She literally outed him.
Wait, was she like being intimidated by his team?
Yeah, they were trying to get her to not release the book or to whatever, probably change up the book or something. This is what she wrote in her Instagram story. I will not be bullied or silenced with high-priced lawyers or PR crisis managers. The asshole that I am talking about in one chapter of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen. That was literally, wow. She wrote that on Instagram stories. Create mode. So this is because, in an earlier story, I guess before that, but this, I think she then deleted them. She said, now the asshole is trying to threaten me. He's hired a crisis PR manager and lawyers. He's trying to stop press coming out about my new book, but the book will come out and you will all know the truth. And so the book came out, obviously.
Gotcha. Okay. So this was them trying to get her to change the book or have the book not.
Yes. But she just doubled down, just like Joe Peacock and Morgan Wallen. She doubled down.
Do we have any info on what she said about him?
Oh, yes, we do. We absolutely
she came. Do. Receipts, yeah. Proof, timeline. Right. Chan is here. I love it.
So Wilson had a supporting role in the 2016 film, The Brothers Grimsby.
Okay.
And back in 2014, she actually described on an Australian radio show some of the alleged on-set harassment. So this is her talking. She said, every day he's like, just go naked. It will be funny. Remember in Borat when I did that naked scene? It was hilarious. On the last day, I thought I'd obviously won the argument and he got a body double to do the naked scene. But when it came to shooting the last scene, Wilson claims Baron Cohen took things further. He was like, Rebel, can you just stick your finger up my butt? And I went, what do you mean, Sasha? That's not in the script. And he's like, look, I'll just pull down my pants. You just stick your finger up my butt. It'll be a really funny bit. And he like pulled down his pants.
That's horrible.
I mean, that's like crazy. That lewd behavior. Yeah.
I mean, it's extremely disgusting.
It's so disgusting.
It's also sexual harassment in a major way. 100%.
100%. Absolutely. And she also talked about how like the costuming on that set was really meant to like not flatter her body or to show as much cellulite as possible. Like it was just his whole thing is honestly being racist and also embarrassing other people. That's like his whole shtick.
Interesting. It's been a minute since I've watched anything Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's just done a lot of those movies about like they're crazy over the top. Like he'll have like a sensationalized Osama bin Laden or something. Does this ring any bells for you?
Yeah, it does. And doesn't he try to just make it clear like what idiots everyone is or just like.
Yeah, it's like it's just kind of making everyone like so it's a comedy. It's a total comedy, but it is like he's playing into a lot of stereotypes with it.
Right, right. Yeah.
So another, just to continue, in 2017, Rebel Wilson shared a similar story in a bunch of now deleted tweets, but she didn't put his name, but she said, quote, a male star in a position of power asked me to go into a room with him and then asked me repeatedly to stick my finger up his ass. She also noted that the man's friends were laughing and trying to film the incident on his phone, on their phones. It's disgusting. It also just, to me, it fully tracks. And I think it's really crazy that her book came out April 2nd and it's April 9th now or this past weekend. And we have this like a public divorce announcement. She's like, I mean, fully done. Good. Like, I don't want to be associated with this guy. Yeah.
Right. Good for Isla Fisher.
Yeah. Ugh.
Prayers to Rebel. Glad she's moved up and is not silent or silenced.
I also just want to take a minute and say that it, like, for her to go full out and to name him on her Instagram story, even if she deleted it, she must feel pretty comfortable that she's not in the wrong here.
Yeah.
To be able to go no holds bar, if that's the expression. And so I guess he has responded, though, and I'll mention what he said. He said, while we appreciate the importance of speaking out, these demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present before, during, and after the production of The Brothers Grimsby. But I'm just like, what extensive evidence? I don't know.
It's all clearly PR. It's trying to tamp down rumors. It's trying to obfuscate. I mean, it's kind of like Brad Pitt's playbook now, which is like use a source to try to discredit Angelina and say that these rumors are baseless or say these accusations are baseless. And you know, nothing new here, nothing to see here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. Someone on Reddit was like, this feels like a Russell Brand situation where someone's just like bad humor and the way that they like, you know, have been beloved is just kind of catching up to them, you know, where it's like, yeah. So anyway.
Well, very interesting context, Chandler. Thank you for bringing that to today's programming. Can I share a palate cleanser with you? I feel like we need to maybe bring the energy up.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a dream. This story is 30 seconds, everyone, and I promise there's a punchline. I had a dream, and I say that because I basically always think hearing about people's dreams is kind of boring.
It's extremely boring.
So I had a dream, And in the dream, you, me, like our whole family, essentially, and Kagan were going to dinner at someone's house in Provo.
Okay.
Mom and dad were there. Everyone was going to dinner at this person's house. And I didn't know who these people were. Okay. Anyway, long story short, the teenage daughter came upstairs, like from the basement or whatever, and she looks at me. Kagan's right there. You're right there. And goes, oh, my dad said he met you like 10 years ago on Match.com. And anyway, I just, in the dream, I'm like panicking, like cold sweat, like, oh my gosh, oh my this gosh. Is so embarrassing. And anyway, I mean, I didn't even have a Match.com profile when I was in college.
Well, could that story though be true?
I was horrifically embarrassed, okay, in this dream. And I was so happy to wake up and not be in that cruel situation where I was going to meet some like 50-year-old or 60-year-old I'd been on a date with 10 years ago.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, I'm so glad that was a dream and not a reality.
Lauren, me too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want you at some point, maybe in the next episode, I want to talk about your experience with the male wellness community.
Oh.
Your personal dating experience, you know, in conjunction with all the Andrew Huberman stuff. And I
feel
we'll leave
like
that for another episode, but I think it'd be worth talking about.
Yes. Talking about kind of speaking to lawsuits, speaking to having to be very careful about what you say. Mm-hmm. All I will say is that I will only talk about that on Patreon. I dated, or subscriber episodes, I dated a person, a guy, I'll reveal the gender. I dated a guy. He was like a known person, a public figure, mm-hmm. and had a wellness brand. I'll just keep it very high level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's lots to say about like that thinking, experience.
Trying to think if anyone's trying to piece together like a guy who has a wellness brand and it's like, Dr. Scholes, you dated Dr. Scholes.
Just like, anyway. I dated Dr. Mark Hyman. No, I dated a guy. He's Salt Lake adjacent. Okay.
Oh, you're just giving out more details for free now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. I won't say.
But anyway, we should talk about it.
We'll talk about it on Patreon. Yeah. I mean, do I have tales of that experience?
I think it'd be great to hear about
someone who is truly nothing like his public persona. Anyway,
wow,
there's some juice.
Scathing.
For sure.
Scathing.
Just my axe to grind, Chandler. Okay, I want to get into the news that's coming out, kind of circling back on Kate. Do you mind?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so I don't know if anyone's noticed, but there have been a few headlines coming out about Prince William ascending the throne much mm-hmm. sooner than expected, which is kind of interesting given that we, in our infamous series, we said our prediction was that the king only had a year to live and William was going to ascend the throne. Mm-hmm. So Tina Brown wrote an op-ed for the New York Times called Heavy Lies the Crown. And in this op-ed, and by the way, if you're not a pop apologist OG, you might not be familiar with Tina Brown. Tina Brown is the founder of the Daily Beast, and she's a royal expert. She's written many books on the royals. She wrote the Palace Papers, which is a huge book on the royals that we deep dived on our Patreon. We have like a 15-part series about it. Anyway, very interesting op-ed from Tina in the New York Times. Mm. She basically gives like a little state of the union about the monarchy. One thing that she said, Chan, was she was talking about the photo kerfuffle. And she was saying that like after the kill notice, Associated Press said that Kensington Palace was no longer a trusted source for information.
Yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah.
And she was like, since when has the palace ever been a trusted source of information?
Right.
And she talks about how apparently there were a ton of rumors about Charles and Diana in like mid-1980s. And kind of amidst all these rumors, that's when they did that little documentary or that little filmed interview in their home. I don't know if you remember this, but Charles and Diana, there's like footage of them doing an interview.
Yes, I think I remember this. Yeah.
Diana's like sitting at a piano.
Is she wearing a blue dress or something?
Yes. Harry's really little. Mm-hmm. There's video of the kids. And anyway, it's just funny because it was – you know, a little bit like history repeating itself, where people were very much abuzz with rumors of strife and the royal family putting out a video to try to quell the rumors. And Tina says, well, we know how that ended. You know, we know what ended up being true.
Right.
Now, Tina's not really on the side of all of the rumors that we put forward at all. But so this is what she said in the New York Times. She says, the almost simultaneous news of Charles's cancer has put William and Catherine in frightening proximity to ascending the throne just when they had hoped for a span of years to parent their children out of the public eye. The prospect of it, I am told, is causing them intense anxiety. The fascination of the crown will always be the tension between a venerable institution and the human beings who are trapped inside it. Isn't it just too cruel to expect modern mortals to live and love and parent in such a blisteringly unforgivable media gaze? Catherine is battling more, much more than cancer. A tidal wave of premature responsibility is crashing in her and William's direction. Frozen, unready, and with Catherine now seriously unwell, the Prince and Princess of Wales await the awesome burden of the crown.
Ooh,
her writing is just...
Her sword is her pen.
She has a gorgeous way with words. She's a wordsmith. Okay. I just feel like when it comes to this idea that William is sweating about potentially having to be king sooner than expected, and especially with the idea that like he wants to, like he thought he would just have years to like parent, you know, in privacy before ascending the throne. I kind of like don't think that's true.
You're not buying it.
I'm not buying it at all. I almost feel like all these future monarchs, well, they like are so excited to be
for like their
the sovereign. Yeah. I mean, I go ahead.
I can see William not being nervous or anxious, but being not maybe excited is the wrong choice of words, but him being more ready for it. But I can absolutely understand maybe if Kate is having a wave of just like, oh gosh, shit just got really real.
Yeah. And especially if she's also dealing with an illness that would take that to a new level and being like, I don't want this. You know, you'd want that to happen at a time when things were a lot more stable for you in your life. So yeah, I totally get that. There's just something to me about like, oh, really? William is so nervous about this. She actually makes a very astute comparison. And she basically says that Queen Elizabeth should have stepped down 10 years before she died to give time for Charles to really acclimate to the role.
Right.
And she kind of made the analogy to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She said that just like Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have stepped down and allowed someone else to take her place, Queen Elizabeth II should have also allowed Charles to take her place, but she knew what awaited her after she was sovereign. She knew it was just like B-level events, B-level ribbon cuttings. And it's actually so much more exciting to be like in the world of rulers and in the world of power and being the head of state. Like that's so much more exciting than just being a tertiary royal.
You're saying the queen was like power hungry till the day she died.
I think she just enjoyed being at the center of the action and she enjoyed being number one on the call sheet. And I think that's normal and human. And I think the same thing happened with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's why none of these people retire, because I think that being in that position where you have so much power is really seductive for people. And I think that's way more fun than normal life to a lot of people.
I agree. I do think that she also could have just not felt like Charles was ready.
It could have been that she had no faith in Charles. It also could have been that she made that promise, you know, I will live for this country for my whole life, whether it be long or short.
Your Queen Elizabeth accent's pretty good.
Remember that video, Chandler?
Yeah, I do. Okay, everyone, we're going to cut to another Pop Apologist golden moment. This story is from our childhood. If everyone will remember, Lauren and I are sisters. We grew up together. And this is from a choice Saturday in our childhood, you know, spent on the picket lines.
So true. So this is from episode 5, I believe, Child Activist Diaries. This is going to be a little snippet. Well, not so little. We're going to include the whole story. Enjoy, everyone. So before we move on, do you want to speak a little bit to just the general experience of being children picketing a tile company in Santa Ana?
Yes, I would love to speak to this experience of mine that I draw upon often. If I need to find a reserve of anger or frustration for corporations, I will go back to this well.
Oh, it really struck a chord within us, this tile grievance as children.
Definitely. So what I remember from this experience was I was picked up from Vista Del Mar Elementary School, and mom had this look in her eye you know, she was almost twinkling with the prospect of the next day. And she said, "Tomorrow, children, we are going to go picket outside of the tile company. And we're going to show them that we won't just take it."
And totally. She really pepped us up.
She really did pep us up. And driving her Suburban, she drove us straight to Michael's, where we got supplies to really take on corporate America. And I remember actually thinking, this is hell. This is the last thing I want to spend my Saturday doing, knowing that we had to wake up so early because we had to drive all the way to Santa Ana, like right when they opened, so that we could have a full day of picketing if need be.
Well, not only that, but she really impressed upon us that we had to look really clean and polished. Mm-hmm. And so we had to get up an hour early too to wash and blow dry our hair, curl our hair, just have a clean, presentable clothes on.
I mean, yeah, we had to be wearing not church clothes, but, you know, next level. One level down from church clothes. We had to be wearing one level down from church clothes, essentially.
It was business casual on that Santa Ana road.
And you know what else I remember? So we're on this little like strip of highway or whatever, and we've got our signs out. And I just remember there wasn't a sidewalk. Like
there wasn't a sidewalk.
Yes. There was no sidewalk for us to rest our weary social justice warrior limbs.
Our weary activist asses on.
Yes. Even better. I think that was maybe the most excruciating part, was just seeing, and there was one little tiny like strip of concrete that was probably for like an electrical box or something. And Courtney decided to claim that territory. So there really was
100%.
There was no place of rest. And maybe that fueled our rage even more.
I mean, Courtney, I would say, was probably the most defiant of us as kids.
Yeah.
And I just remember she fully just refused. Like our mother, there was no outright defiance of Deb. So it was not a situation where we could just say, oh, no, I'm not going. I remember the first time I even realized that a kid could tell their parent no, that they were not going to do something and then proceed to not do it. That wasn't an option in our house. But Courtney, she protested the protest as much as she could and just sat on that precious strip of concrete where you could actually fit your butt and did not move, held up a sign with like limp jelly arms. That was her only contribution to our activism that morning.
I think I'm still kind of mad at her for that. Like, now that you're really bringing this up again, I don't really want to speak to her for like maybe a few days, because like that was so terrible. And there was solidarity and all of us being stuck out there. And she fully turned her back on all of us.
I mean, our poor dad, who works all week and then has like one precious Saturday morning to just chill out in front of the TV or go golf. Nope. Instead, getting slacks on at 7 a.m. once again, got to drive to Santa Ana, not to go to court like he does every other day.
Yeah, to go protest with his 6 children, 5 daughters, 1 boy.
The image of us Orange County kids with our signs held aloft in the air, the outrage in our face. Actually, we weren't very emotionally convicted, I would say. We were just basically we were just like marching like 10 feet back and forth, kind of limply holding the signs.
I do remember trying to like summon some sort of emotion for this cause and really coming up empty.
Wait, do you remember there were fully people who like other moms in Suburbans who would roll down their window and pull over and like mom would tell them her story? Do you remember that?
Or people would honk at us. Yeah. I mean, maybe that was kind of exciting.
That was exciting. In your mind, how long were we there?
This is a great question, because I want to say that we were picketing for a grand total of an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would say it felt excruciating. Like every moment was so – it was hot. It was not fun. There was nowhere to sit. I was always really lazy as a kid. Actually, I wasn't. It was hot. It was excruciating. It was boring.
It was definitely all of those things. I definitely was lazy as a child, and there was something called a sit-down job. If our mom had chores for us, it was really clutch if you could get a sit-down job, and those were often requested.
Well, because our chores were either a sit-down job, which was long and sustained, and you knew the level of energy output that would have to go into it, and you could multitask, you could listen to music at the same time with your iPod. However, our other chores as kids was extremely short-term. I'm talking 30-second tasks mm-hmm. that were followed up with having to return to my mother and ask her what we could do. So it was like, okay, take it. There might be a smattering of 50 things on the landing at the top of the stairs. I want you to bring each thing to me and I'll tell you where it goes.
Lauren, you just talking about this right now, my whole body is tensing up and I'm starting to feel a little bit ill. So I think we need to just return to what happened at the end of our picketing story, because I cannot handle revisiting that part of our childhood.
It's full PTSD.
I actually hope people know that, maybe I already told this story. If not, our mom the other day, while I was on a call, video call with my boss, having a professional meeting about a paying client at the ad agency that I still work for, not really
You're well
anymore,
employed by.
Who I'm well employed by. My mom tried to give me a chore during this and was yelling at me to do a specific task for her. I think it was like, put this washcloth in the laundry room. And I said, I can't do chores right now. I'm talking to my boss. And then she didn't stop. She didn't care.
Oh my gosh. Did your boss hear? Did you mute yourself or could you not mute yourself?
No, I didn't have time to mute myself. And it was actually really funny.
Oh, so, I bet they were dying.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is the picture of the pandemic. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I really want to drive home is that it all sounds like fun and games and funny to listen to, but when you actually get there and you're actually picketing, after about 15 minutes of walking back and forth on the same 20 feet of roadside, it gets very monotonous and very boring. And I just remember it was excruciating. But eventually the guy came out, and I think it was probably actually only an hour, maybe 2 hours max into being there, and fully just gave, he was like, what do you want? He had a legal pad mm-hmm. and he asked my mom everything she wanted. Cause you know, she told him we wouldn't move an inch until they moved miles.
Mountains.
And we got every speck of tile that Deb Bledsoe wanted.
Yeah. You know, she's still very proud of it to this day. She actually has kept the signs in our garage. So if anybody wants to come by and look at them for some motivation, if they want to borrow them to picket their own tile manufacturers, just let us know.
Honestly, I just want to say that our mom is so funny and quirky. And there are so many stories growing up that just kill me. But she would always call herself an AC, an aggressive consumer. Like, that was kind of, she had bragging rights to be an AC, an aggressive consumer who got what she wanted. So maybe we'll make that a little bit of a series. Stories of the AC in our life.
She definitely predated the "Can I speak to the manager" meme in her own way.
Oh, it's so good. All right. This is an injection in post, an addition in post. Chandler has called me. She's live on my speakerphone with my mother. And I guess there's a detail that was left out of this original tale that they have called to dish about.
Okay. So allegedly, according to our mom, who's right here, you can verify, right? You'll verify?
Well, I'm not verifying anything until I hear the whole podcast, because honestly, what am I agreeing to? I haven't heard anything.
Well, anyways, don't worry about it.
Sounds like a lawyer's wife.
Yeah, classic. Anywho, we forgot a critical part of the story, and that is that our eldest sister, Ashley, who was away at BYU at the time of the picketing, she was also employed in the scheme, because our mom called her and instructed her to call the tile company and say, hey, what's going on outside of your store? There's a bunch of people protesting. How do you feel about those actions? Do you feel like that was a little bit crazy of you to do, Mom?
I'm honestly going to call the Better Business Bureau right now.
Should you pay back the tile company for this lie?
I think that she should have the tile taken out of the house and given back.
Yeah, I think so.
Full deception.
I'm going to play the fifth right here.
Is Mom saying nothing? Like, she won't actually...
I'm just going to, like, need to plead the fifth, because honestly, at the time, I wanted Ashley to, even though she was away at college, still, like, part of our family.
Oh my gosh.
That would just be helpful if she would just call and say, hey, what are those people upset about outside their tile store? And
I was thinking of coming by and buying some tile this morning, but no, I'm not going to.
But then I saw their signs, and
oh my gosh, ingenious.
Well, anyway,
now that we've got the full story, there's help on both sides.
There's one more cherry on top detail that you texted me earlier. Want to reveal that as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The cherry on top of this entire masterpiece way before that he was going to have to give you back for the supplies from Walmart. Did you hear that?
No, Chen, you're going to have to say it.
Our dear mother, in advance, had actually told the manager, owner of this tile company, that he was going to have to pay her back for said poster supplies, and that holding on to the receipts.
And I gave it to him.
When he was writing out the check for like $36,000, I said, and don't forget this. And I pulled the receipt out from Walmart out of my jean pocket. And there you have it. There you have it, folks.
Because Mom called them ahead of time and said we were coming and said, not only are you going to replace the tile, but you're going to pay me for the poster supplies.
Well, they needed to do the right thing, and I didn't have time to go through the litigation of the court, so I just was exercising my freedom of speech to walk on their sidewalk. I even called the police department before and made sure that everything was on the
I don't know if you remember this, Mom, but there wasn't a sidewalk. Remember that? There was no actual sidewalk.
Yeah, I remember the actual panic when we pulled up outside, and I saw there was no sidewalk, and I had all my little kids, and Dad kept saying, you and your freaking harebrained schemes. Dad was mad at me until the guy was writing out the check, then suddenly I was the best wife in the world.
100%. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that about wraps it up. In his Range Rover, and he shoved it in the park. The whole thing jerked, and all the suitcases were in there.
I don't believe it.
Wait, what happened with the Range Rover?
The owner of Marmol Export was at the airport to go to Puerto Vallarta when Larry called him and said she showed up and she's got all her kids and poster boards, and they're picketing outside our store on State College, and so he had to drive from the airport with the checkbook to come write me a check because I said we weren't leaving until I had the money in my hand. I was just exercising my constitutional right. Maybe having Ashley call, I entered into a gray area. But I did need to speed things up because Nick had a soccer game that we had to get to. I needed the check. Literally, we got there at 8 o'clock in the morning. I needed the check by noon to get into a soccer game. What time did you get the check at? I got the check by 10:30. Yeah.
How long were we actually picketing for? Like, how long did it take?
Did Courtney picket or did she just sit there?
Courtney, what's your memory of that?
I think there was a few people who were less than excited to hold their signs, but Chandler was all in.
Did Chandler get a cut?
No. Do you think she get my cut now? Yeah, probably. Just a little bit. An egocentric gratitude tax. Okay, this is addendum. The other day we're half.
Stop.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
Wait, what? Don't say it. Now you have to say it.
Okay, the other mom, I always get up. Okay, I'll tell it on the next pod when we're online. Okay, love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at Pop Apologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.